you don't remember me, but I do remember
your face.
Way.
I'm trying to remember.
I'm Kevin Bartlett's uncle, Richard Harper's uncle.
You get this angle.
Good to see you again. Praise the Lord for good, solid, biblically based music. John 3:16 says, "Kami wa jitsu ni sono shitori go o atai ni natta hodo ni yo aishite kudasatta." Sore wa shitori toshite shinjiru mono, shitori toshite horobiru koto naku, tokoshie no inochi o eru tame de aru. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son.
Yes, sir.
That whosoever, think about it. And I believe, Pastor, that whosoever means whosoever.
Yes. Amen.
That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You've been listening and blessed by great music. You have been drawn, I trust, to think deeply about the greatness of our God. But I'm here tonight, and I battled between two different messages, and finally I believe I'm where the Lord wants me to be. Because I'm here representing usually missions. But tonight, not so. I stand here tonight representing perishing people all over this planet. My heart is heavy. My heart is burdened. God loves this world so much that He actually gave His own Son, God Himself, incarnate in human flesh because of His great love for this world. Why? I don't know. A depraved world. A sinful world. A wicked world. A world that is in total rebellion against the God who created them and then against the God who loved them enough to send His Son to die for them. And yet that love goes on. In 2 Peter chapter 3, we read these words. Verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise." The Lord has never been slack concerning any of His promises.
Amen.
The Lord keeps every promise. He has never broken a promise. You have. I have. Our best friends have. People we look up to, because we do not have the ability to keep every promise. But God is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. But God is long-suffering to usward. Long-suffering to whom? To us. Because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, God is long-suffering. He told us over 2,000 years ago, "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." Every created person. All nations. All places. We've been commanded to take this message. It's not His will that even one soul should perish. God, excuse me, but God does not choose some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. God doesn't. He is, if anyone who goes to hell against the will of God. I choose to believe the clear statements of Scripture before I will believe the philosophies of the theologian. God doesn't need anybody to tell us what He meant to say. God said what He meant. And when God says it's not His will that any should perish, it means it's not His will for any to perish. But yet people are perishing. By the millions, oh, the souls that now are dying in the lands across the sea who have never heard of Jesus, who means much to me, you and me. They're haunted by the evil spirits, bearing heavy loads of care, thinking only of appeasement, living, dying in despair. Oh, they have gods with eyes that see not, and gods with ears that do not hear, who their prayer can never answer, who cannot dispel their fear. You see, we have lost perishing people all over this world. And I stand here tonight pleading with you. You know, missionaries get accused of always asking for something. Begging for something. I was in a missions conference, and I shouldn't even tell this, but I'm going to. I was in a missions conference one time, and they were having questions and answers. I hate those things. If they ask statistical questions, I usually don't have up-to-date answers anyway. And they could look it up on Google and find out a much more accurate answer if they wanted to do that. And then they like to ask you what all the weird things you eat, you know, and all those things. But we were in that, and I had five young missionary couples going to the mission field. I think most of them, if not all of them, were on their way for the first time. And they were having questions. And there was an elderly gentleman stood up in the back. And he said, I have a question. He said, I thought you missionaries went to the mission field by faith, trusting God for your support. I said, yes, sir, that's exactly right. He said, well, then why are you here begging money then? I looked at the pastor. He kind of had his head down between his knees. Didn't even look up. And I didn't say what I wanted to say. Or they would have never had another missions conference. But I paused and I thought, and I believe God gave me that. I said, sir, you have totally misunderstood our purpose for being here. We're not here asking a favor. We're here offering one. God has called you and your church to take the gospel to the whole world. Now, there's only two ways you can do that. You can send us, or you can go yourself. And it would be far better to go. It would be far better to go. But you see, I am here pleading with you as a church. I know I'm preaching to the choir. And incidentally, wasn't that a great choir? I hear you have several people out sick or gone on trips and things like that. That's wonderful. I love good choir music. And I like the men's section. That looked good. Praise the Lord. That I was blessed. But I know I'm preaching to the choir when I talk about missions, because you all have supported me and other missionaries for years and years and many, many more years than I like to think about. But you're not doing all you can. I think all of us, including me, could do more. I don't think any of us will step into His presence and say, I wish I hadn't given quite as much. I think it'll be the other way around, don't you? I wish I'd have given Him more. But I want you, in the time we have, and I don't really know how much time I have, and I'm not going to ask, because I get to leave in the morning, and I the pastor will be in trouble, and he'll, and these men sang too long, and, you know, and I've got all kinds of outs that I can go with so that I can get away with this time. But I want you to open the ears of your heart. This is something that is really on my heart as I travel now around the world. I spent over 36 years in one country with tunnel vision for one people. I believe that's what a missionary ought to do. The Japanese are my people. I love them. And I would love to be living there all the time with them now. But I learned a long time ago that you don't really have to agree with God. You just have to submit to God. Jesus in the garden said, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And sometimes we have to say that. We have to put our will to the back and say, Lord, what you want. So for the last 16 and a half years, I've been traveling the world. But as I've done that, I've seen people everywhere with the same problem. Poverty is not the problem of the world. Poverty is one of the results of the sinfulness of the world.
Amen.
And the greatest need of this world, this dark world, is the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And Satan is doing all he can to blind their minds, lest that light shine into their darkness. But I want you to open up your spiritual ears just for the few moments we have and try to listen. Try to hear. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples? Let him that hath ears hear. And I want you to hear the pleadings, the pleas, P-L-E-A-S, the pleas for the perishing. I want you to listen in your heart and see if you can hear it. So first of all, very quickly, turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33. I want you to hear the plea that comes from the portals of heaven. In Ezekiel chapter 33, we read in verse 8, when I say, and this is God talking, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Verse 11, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Can you hear it? The plea that's coming from the portals of heaven when God the Father, the Creator God, who created man in his own image, sees as so much of mankind plunges into eternal damnation. And he says, why will you die? And he tells us, you see, the destiny of every sinner is eternal damnation. Therefore, the duty of every saint is to warn them and to win them. And the desire of the Savior, as has always been, is for their salvation. He wants to be their Savior. God has no pleasure in damnation. God has provided for deliverance. And God is pleading for a decision. Can you hear the plea that comes from the portals of heaven? Listen. I think you can hear it in your heart. Then I want you to turn to Luke chapter 16. I suppose if I were picking my least favorite passage of Scripture to preach from, this would be it. I don't like to preach about hell, but I must. As you listen in your heart for the plea that comes from God the Father from the portals of heaven, I want you to also listen and see if you can hear that voice, that pleading voice that comes from the pits of hell. You see, as we look at chapter 3, it says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, this is not a parable, this is a true story, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried. This is the man in hell. Listen to his plea. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But it's too late. It's too late. But he doesn't stop his plea there. Listen to what he says next. But Abraham said, no, it's too late. In your lifetime, you received good things, and Lazarus received evil things, and now he's comforted, and you're not. You're tormented. Now, please don't misunderstand. The rich man wasn't in hell because he was rich. And the poor man wasn't in heaven because he was poor. You see, there's only one entrance into heaven, and that is through the finished work of Jesus Christ. But this is just a contrast. Many times in the scripture, extremes are used to contrast the importance of eternal things. And so all this world has to offer is not worth anything in comparison to what we have in eternal life with Jesus Christ. And then, I want you to notice verse 27. I'd never noticed this so much until I went to Japan as a missionary. But he said in verse 27, then he, the rich man in hell, said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Send someone to tell my loved ones so they won't come to this awful place. That's the prayer that is ascending from the pits of hell. Have you ever thought about that? Many times in Japan, they worship their own ancestors. They worship their own dead. When grandma or mother or dad or anybody dies, they become immediately a god and they must be worshipped. And many times when I witness to Japanese people, they will give me this. They will say, oh, I would like to be a Christian, but I'm so afraid of what my ancestors would do. You see, religion is nothing but superstition and fear. They know nothing about the love of God. But I've been able over and over again to open to the book of Luke chapter 16 and say, oh no. If you have ancestors, if you have loved ones that are in hell, they're not going to harm you for believing the gospel. In fact, they're praying for you right now. And I show them this. In hell, they're saying, send someone to tell my loved ones so they don't come to this awful place. And maybe that's why I'm here. Maybe that's why God led me to this place right now. Because somebody in hell is praying that somebody would come. And here I am with the gospel. Can you hear that plea that comes from the pits of hell? First, he prayed for himself, as we all do. Lord, send somebody to comfort me. But then when that was not possible, immediately He had a greater burden for his lost family than most of us do who are still living and going to church every Sunday. Send somebody to tell my lost loved ones. Let me tell you how it works. If we'll begin to say, Lord, send somebody to my lost family. Lord, please send somebody to my lost. Oh, God, please send somebody to tell my family about the Lord. Before we know it, our prayer will change. And we'll be saying, Lord, help me. I'm going to go. And I'm going to tell them before it's too late. I have loved ones, dearly loved ones, that as far as I know, they're in hell right now. And I can imagine them praying for me to be successful as a missionary reaching lost souls all around this world. Don't let them come to this awful place. Send somebody. That's the plea that comes from the pits of hell. Now, Acts chapter 16. Talking about the Apostle Paul, Timothy, and his missionary team. It says in verse 6, Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Just a little side note. This is an interesting verse for me because as a young man in Bible college, knowing God had called me to be a missionary when I was 12, not knowing exactly where God wanted me to go, I was thinking about it and praying about it. And I was reading this. And I read that Paul was forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go to Asia. But that same Holy Spirit in my heart said, but you're not. That's exactly where I want you to go. And I've been sure of that ever since. Now, don't ask me to explain it. It's just one of the things you know. But anyway, here's Paul. He's seeking to take the gospel. He's got this burning passion to get the gospel out to the lost, around to the heathen. And after he says he came to Mysia, then they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Have you ever been frustrated wanting to do what God wanted you to do, and it seemed like every door before you was shut? I've been there. But then, listen to the next verse. It says that in verse 9, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed them, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. Come over into Macedonia and help us. The plea from the portals of heaven warned them for me. The plea that comes from the pits of hell, send somebody to my lost loved ones. And then I want you to hear the plea that comes from the pitiful heathen all over the world. Come over and help us. Help us. Well, they don't always know what they need, but they know they need something. When Paul got to Philippi, when Paul got to Macedonia, he didn't find that man. What he found was persecution, problems, and prison. But as a result of that, he planted a church in Philippi that was greatly used for the glory of God. You see. So Paul received this vision, and I like this next verse. It says, after he, verse 10, look at this very carefully if you have your Bibles open. After he, Paul, had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Do you see a very important spiritual truth here? God gives vision to leaders. And then those who follow that leader jump in and say, this is our vision.
Right.
You see, the vision for missions is not your pastor's vision. He ought to be the leader who leads you to do more for missions. But everyone who's here should say, after our pastor got that vision to do that, then we knew that it was God's will for us to do it too. Because we know it's God's will for him to be our pastor.
Yeah, that's right.
So they said, as soon as Paul caught this vision, and he heard this plea that was coming from the hearts of heathen peoples all over the world, we knew that that's what God had called us to do. And that's what we need. The plea that comes from God the Father from the portals of heaven. God's will is not that even one should perish. And he did his part in every way. He has finished the work of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us, then he has given us the word of reconciliation, and he expects us to do the work of reconciliation. Reconciling a lost world to Jesus Christ. As we go into Bible conference, there's so much we can learn from the Word of God. I personally believe that we will go through all of eternity learning more and more and more about our Almighty God, and we'll never exhaust everything there is to know about Him. Eternity won't be long enough. But tonight I want you to hear His voice in your heart. Don't let the world perish. And then I want you to hear that voice that comes from the pits of hell that says, send somebody. And incidentally, crossing the ocean doesn't turn anybody into a missionary. If you're not willing to cross the street, you'd better not cross the ocean. But we all should be willing to go somewhere and then do what we can to send somebody else where we can't go. That's what it's all about. But in closing, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 10. As you listen to the voice of the heathen that says, come over and help us. Oh, please hear our cry. We're sinful and helpless and ready to die. Romans 10. I want you to hear finally the plea that comes from the passionate heart. The plea from the portals of heaven. The plea from the pits of hell. The plea from the pitiful heathen. And then finally, and I close, the plea that comes from the passionate heart. Listen to Paul in chapter 10 as he says in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All through this marvelous book of Romans where the grace of God is so beautifully expounded to us, he comes now with a heart burden, of course, for his own people, the Jew, but also for the heathen of the world. And I think with a rejoicing heart, we hear him quote that scripture from Joel chapter 2 and verse 12. Whosoever, just think about it, Jew, Gentile, bond, free, anybody, everybody, anywhere, no exceptions, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I can just feel his rejoicing heart. I like the way it says it in Japanese better than the way it says it in English. I'm going to get in trouble, but that's what I thought. Because in Japanese, they have a word. When we say whosoever shall call, we don't know whether it's a sincere call or whether it's not a sincere call. That's why the Holy Spirit gave us verses 9 and 10. The heart and the mouth are both necessary for salvation. But in the Japanese, it says, shu no mina o yobi motomeru mono wa daridemo suku. Whosoever shall call with a longing heart upon the Lord will be saved. And isn't that what it is? That's the true call. Whosoever, anybody, everybody. No one is too wicked. No one is too depraved. No one is good enough to not need God's salvation. But all over the world, no matter how wicked, terrorists, if they will believe, can be saved. You see, we need to understand that. And Paul is rejoicing. And I think as he's rejoicing, this cloud comes over him. And he's thinking about all those places. He's been place after place. And he didn't have an airplane. When I complain about airplanes, I think, well, at least I'm not in Apostle Paul's day. I can get there in one day. I can get there in 18 hours. It took him 18 weeks. So I can be thankful for that. But as he's thinking about this marvelous truth that anybody can be saved, anybody can call, his heart has this shadow that comes over it. And he says, but how can they believe on him in whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except they be sent? Now, I know this is not missions conference, but I'm a missionary heart and soul. And I believe that the greatest responsibility we have, our first priority, should be to obey His last command. Yes. And that's to take the gospel to the whole world. Yes. Amen. So they need to hear. And if they're going to hear, then we need... Can you hear that plea that comes from Paul's heart and then from the heart of other missionaries? Someone asked me a question. How many missionaries are 65 plus out on the mission fields? And of course, I don't know that number. Of course I don't. But you know what my answer was? Far too many. Far too many old people are still on their mission fields because there's nobody else to come along beside them and help them do what God wants them to do. And how can their people believe if they don't hear? And how can they reach out? That's why God has given me a passion to work with and help train God-called nationals so that they can go out and plant churches in their own nation and reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and then send their missionaries out to the nations of the world. Many of them go to places where American missionaries aren't allowed in. But Japanese missionaries can go. And they preach the gospel. They dress up like a Chinese and learn to speak Chinese, and nobody knows they're not Chinese. But I guarantee you, I can't go in and then think I'm not Chinese. They think I'm Chinese. There's no way I could pass myself. In fact, they won't take me to some of the places they go because they say, our people will be persecuted if you went. But you see, that's what we're doing. You see, God is not willing that even one soul should perish. But yet, all over this world, there are hundreds and thousands and even millions who have never even heard. As it says in Ezekiel, if they hear and they reject and refuse, they will still die in their sins. But your blood, you won't have their blood on your hands. You'll be pure. As Paul said, I am pure from the blood of all men. I'm not sure I can say that, but I, with every breath I breathe until he takes me home, I want to work toward that end. You see, because people are perishing. And I could talk about giving to missions. I could talk. But I'm here tonight representing lost, perishing, doomed, damned sinners who will spend all of eternity in the flames of hell unless they believe. And they cannot believe unless they hear. And so I join Paul, that first great missionary, as he's pleading from a passionate heart, send missionaries. be a missionary somewhere and then send missionaries the other places where you cannot go. This church can't support every missionary that comes your way. But this church can support every missionary God wants you to support that comes this way. We need our churches to get back to Acts 13 approach to missions and let the Holy Spirit tell them which missionaries they're going to send. And then God can bless. I hope you can see my heart. There's so much more. I wish I had time to tell you about all the things God is doing and all those things. And this is a little bit of an unusual message to begin a missions conference with. I mean, to begin a Bible conference with. It's more like a missions conference. But think about it. Did you know there are people that are perishing in your own neighborhood? And God help us, even in our own families. And the only opportunity we have to rescue the perishing and care for the dying and snatch them from in pity from sin and the grave is now. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Let's bow our heads.